Good afternoon. Did you guys have fun with Chris?
Yeah.
I'm Dennis Capra, and I just have to acknowledge and honor my lovely wife, Denise. She just turned, I don't know how old it was now, but no, I'm not. She just had her birthday on the 26th. And so on our way as we were coming here. So it's an honor. I know she gets to celebrate that all with you. Amen. We're thankful to be a part of Army. We're thankful for a part as we get to know the relationships we're having with you guys. There's some people we've known here for a long time, been to Andrew's Ministers Conference, and those relationships last. And the good news is we get to carry them all the way up and meet Jesus. Come on, in heaven. Party at my place when you get there, all right? My wife and I, we pastored for, we started in our home for 10 years, and then we had a church for 25 years. So for almost 35 years, we've been doing the church thing. And just to say this, we've had some challenges. Has anybody here had a challenge since they've been doing ministry at all? Okay. Okay. You need anything else for me? Sure. It says crossing over to the other side. Has Jesus called us to cross over? Okay. There was a movie that I saw called Forrest Gump. How many saw Forrest Gump? And there was a guy in there, and this is the almost the attitude we need to have. It's not exactly like this, but she's going to turn on this little clip for you I want you to see.
No shrimp.
Where's this god of yours?
It's funny Lieutenant Dan said that, because right then, God showed up. I was scared, but Lieutenant Dan, he was mad.
Come on! You call this a storm? Oh, you son of a...
Now, what if when your storm came, that was your attitude? Come on. You call this a storm? I believe there's a place we can be when we process the beliefs of our heart, that we can walk through any storm, just like it's a hurdle for a hurdler. How many know God wants you to be going through this with ease? Looking back and telling the testimonies, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, He healed my body. You guys know this song. We can be singing that every day, just in time. Now, the first part of this is called, we're going to the other side. You call this a storm. Making ministry an adventure. Say, I want ministry to be an adventure. Come on. Somebody told me once, we only got one shot at this thing called life. Come on. So let's go for it, right? Now, we should be able to have victory in the midst. How many remember that song? Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That is not scripture. Does everybody understand that? That's not the way it is. That's not the way God set it up. But what God set it up is we can choose our future that we desire. How many know we can be getting the thoughts and intents that God shares with us, our calling, our lane, our destination, and we can let those things work in our heart until it becomes a crop and we can walk it out? How many believe that? I believe there's some people here today, and you are just a thought away in your heart from having your miracle. One belief away from walking, experiencing your miracle. Some people think, well, I just haven't hit that sweet spot with God. No, but Jesus did. Are you with me? So I'm expecting big. All things are possible. Are you with me? Now, we're going to the other side. And we all determined that there were storms on the other side, correct? There are storms on the way to get there, right? Okay. Now, life is a journey, not a destination. How many figured that out? Okay. Now, the next scripture I want you to look at is Isaiah 46:10, seeing the end from the beginning. How many know God determined the end before he started? And part of that, he determined it in his heart. He had the thoughts and intents of how this world was going to be and you, his children, in it and how it was going to go. And then he spoke it out. But the scripture says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times these things that are not yet done. And you were created in his likeness and his image. Now you get to have faith-filled thoughts that are put in your heart, believed in your heart, that you can start speaking out before you ever see the outcome. Many dreams in here, a lot of ministries going on. It start first at heart level. Now, I want you to understand too that foresight, now I'll slide that slide over. Foresight gives us the power to choose the future we desire. God's already said we win. God's already said every good and perfect thing comes from above. That's why we know that storm was for him, right? He established a model of operating in faith. God actually followed the exact pattern Jesus taught in Mark 11:23. And in that, it says, he conceived something in his heart and he spoke faithful words. Remember when it said, when you believe in your heart, do not doubt in your heart. See, we got to understand that God lives in your heart. So if I do not doubt in my heart and I get what God says established at heart level, and I don't doubt, I can experience anything I want to. Anybody heard that before? Come on. But it gets a little deeper than this. Jesus tells us we're to have faith in God. Some theologians say this phrase implies that the believer should have the same kind of faith as God has. Somebody say, yes. I don't even ride around on my faith anymore. I ride around on the faith of Jesus. See, when God created the universe, see, he established a model for operating in this faith. God actually followed the exact pattern Jesus taught in this scripture, that he conceived something in his heart, took faithful words, and he spoke it into existence. You know, I've seen a lot of miracles. I was at our church. I was up there on a Saturday. And there was a guy fixing our sign. And I just happened to come out in the hallway and I noticed that his 12-foot ladder was on the ground and he was laying on the concrete shaking. And I went outside and I smelt something and he got electrocuted in his hand. And there was a pool of blood under his head. So I took a quick, he started breathing. Next thing I know, nothing. Guy died on me. So I took a quick how to raise the dead course. No, you take what's already been put in your heart, you've been establishing there, is going to come out. Yeah. I said, Jim, you're not going to die. I said, I speak life to you. I call life back in your body. I said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. Yeah. All of a sudden, took another breath. And we got him back up. And there was another guy there. I said, go have this cut checked out at least. That guy's still alive today, man. Told us the story he saw going through this tunnel, seeing light. Man, it could have been his best day, he said, but his wife would have said it had been my worst. Wasn't his time. We weren't going to let that happen. Come on. And you can be there. And all that happens because we've allowed our heart to believe what God says. Now, when God said, let there be in Genesis, the following statements usually occurred in some shape, form, or fashion, and then it was so. So God said it, then it was so, and then part of that sequence of statements was, and it was good. So we've got to understand that when God started the universe, he had you and I in mind, his children, and he likes to hang out with you. He told me that, okay? And so God likes us. And so he is conceiving children he's creating. He's conceiving getting to hang out in the beautiful place he's going to build him. Now, most people think God just blam, blurted it out and there was the earth. No, God thought, conceived in his heart how you were going to be and spoke it into existence. Now, I'm saying this because he created the model that you and I should be walking in. And if there's anything that we're not seeing happen, any problems that we're having, it's not on God's end. Are you with me? There's something that I've allowed to come in, belief-wise, that I need to change. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And when Jesus says that, what does that mean to you? So if he says we're going to the other side, how many know there could be storms in the middle of that? And we know there was a demoniac on the other side, and God was trying to get Jesus over this, get this guy set free. So a storm came up. Now, did Jesus get the weather report before he went? No. Did he analyze the circumstances of the situation? See, because some of us get a little too heady when it comes to figuring all this out, and God doesn't want you to figure it all out. Boy, I found that out. Did he see if he had enough money? Didn't check his bank account. Okay, to cross. So what did Jesus do? In the middle of the storm, Jesus went to sleep. I found out I need to start sleeping more in the middle of storms. I found out storms I've let get on the inside sometimes. Instead of resting, getting it over into God's hands, I try to take care of it. And it's almost like you're looking like you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So Jesus, unless we're ready to get in rest and peace and let that be the model that Jesus set that we're going to walk in, we're not going to experience as much as he's designed for us to walk in. I don't know if I'm there just yet, but I guess I'll go ahead and tell this story. We just walked through one of the biggest challenges we've had in a long time. You know, there's lots of challenges in life. Everybody knows what that's like. But I believe you can prepare your heart for the challenge. I believe you can start getting your heart into that place of rest and peace and let rest and peace be your weapon. Amen? And so if I don't get over into fear in the middle of this, I'm telling you, God always comes through for me. He never lets me down. Can that be our confession? God always comes through. He never lets me down. That's my confession. And that's what I see. That's what I choose to walk in. And so we have a building. It's probably valued at around $1 million. We bought almost 20 years ago. And we've had different loans on it through the year. And we got connected with a guy somebody in our church knew, that was a church loan company. And so he got with us and he started asking us our doctrine. And of course, it was a little different than the churches they normally sponsored, but he was cool. And he was going to give us extra money to do the remodels and things that we needed after 20 years. Well, we were in a place where our own loan company, we owed them $408,000. Does anybody carry that around? And so 2 weeks before we had to pay our bank off, this guy is saying, yeah, we'll give you that money, no problem. I get a phone call and he says, I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to lend you this money. Now, does anybody know where you can go in 2 weeks and get $408,000? Just, you know, I thought about those little fast cash places and I just couldn't quite feel it, you know. And so your heart drops. Anybody ever had your heart drop in those kind of situations? But I had to choose to not get in fear. My wife, I mean, trying to deal with this, you know, you take those deep breaths. What are we going to do? Dennis, the person that used to make things happen, wanted to get in Dennis mode and start calling everybody he knew. And I couldn't do it. There was only a couple people we could call. And you can't tell your whole church. Okay, so in a few days, we're getting ready to have our 25th anniversary of our church. And I don't know if there's going to be locks on our front doors of our building or what's going to happen. So the enemy's trying to use that against just to work me over. So I had to stay in peace. I knew God always took care of me. So we were led to call this one brother. Denise had a dream. That's how we knew to call him, and saw this brother. And then she saw him turn around and he became Trump. And so at first we thought we got to call him and he'll lend us the money. He had the money. And we'd give him a large portion of income for using his money, whatever that was, you know, percentage. And he didn't really want to do that. And so here we're thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? But we had to stay in peace. We had to pray in tongues. Amen. We had to thank Jesus. I sang songs to get my heart off the situation. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Come on. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine coming my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Now everybody with me. Mr. Bluebird, you got this song with me, man? So I mean, I'm just getting into the joy. I'm going to praise God in the midst of this situation because God loves me. Come on. Do you know he loves me? That thing's not moving. Maybe she can help me figure that out. What's that? He's still resting. Okay, he's still resting. So what happened was this man, we talked to him, and he called the bank lady that we were working with that was expecting the money just a few weeks ago, and she wouldn't do anything for him. So he says, let me talk to your manager. And he told him our story, how we've had to take finances out of our own pocket to pay stuff sometimes. If you're a pastor out there and you haven't paid one of your payments out of your own pocket, you don't know what it's like. Come on. But if you do, you know what I'm talking about. And so he talked to him and he called and he said, this is what they're going to do. He said, they're going to give you another 6 months. He said, great. And we were able to get another person to loan us the money through another bank. Amen. How many know that God always comes through? How many know God never lets you down? But see, I had to not, in the middle of this storm, I didn't want to have to come here and tell you they took our building. But I'm here to tell you that as we remained in peace, God came through and he always comes through. But I had to not let the thoughts and intents of my heart dominate this situation. Okay, there we go. So Jesus went across, and Jesus, what did he do? He was sleeping, but then he spoke to the storm. See, in this process, you have the authority and the power to speak to anything that comes your way. It does not have authority over it. You have authority over it. Are you with me? Come on. The Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, not in the absence of our enemies. See, what you've got to understand is I'm going to have and eat at the Lord's table and celebrate what God's done. I'm going to throw my bones back to the enemy. Amen? They're going to get to watch what God has done as we prosper and walk in victory in this situation. See, what we've got to understand here is faith always sees, perceives, and knows and declares the end from the beginning. How many believe that? What is your end? What has God called you to do? As you're seeing it, as it's developing in your heart, are you speaking it out? Because once you speak it out, once you see it on the inside, it's easy to walk out on the outside. See, imagination is not just to get into la-la land. It's to take the thoughts and intents of God and allow them to get established in my heart. As they get established, walking it out is the easy part. Once I see it on the inside, it's easy to walk out on the outside. Is everybody with me? Will peace be my weapon? Will rest be my weapon in the midst of this? I found that if I can stay in peace in the middle of this, I'm always going to walk in victory. See, my job is to get my heart in that place where peace is ruling and reigning, and then not doubt. How many know it says in Mark 11:23, the things you desire when you pray, you believe that you receive them. And if you do not doubt in your where? Heart. Amen. You're going to have the things you say. So all I got to do, and the opposite of doubting, is putting God's vision, God's joy, what He's called me to do, and helping people, let myself meditate on those things, and it drowns the doubt out. I don't like storms, but they prepare me for what God's got for me. I envision, we planted, a guy came up to our church one day, and, his wife did, and she knocked on the door, and she says, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes." She says, "Can I have the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Get out of here. We don't do that." No, I said, "Come on." She got the Holy Spirit. And she was from Kenya, East Africa. She brought her husband the next Sunday. They started going through our Charis Bible School we were doing at the church. Now they've got 12 Bible schools in Kenya, East Africa. And now we're planning another one in Zambia. We're planning another one in Tanzania. How many know that God is trying to get your gift to rise up? Now, how this happens is a process called persuading your heart. Said Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he'd do, right? Are you being fully persuaded by what God's calling you to do? Are you seeing that more than all the circumstances on the outside? It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now, your heart is a tablet, and you've been writing things on it almost since after you were born. Some of you maybe before then. And so when information and strong emotion come in, things are written on your heart, both good and bad. And what we've got to be able to do is realize that and start replacing the bad thoughts, informations, pains with what God has said and what He's called you to do, who you are in Him. He loves me. Yes. It says, "And write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." How many know you got favor and high esteem? Can you see that in your heart? Is that something that you've meditated on long enough that that becomes a core belief in your belief system that you walk in? And then it says, "Trust in the Lord with some of your heart." What does it say? You got to get this. It's talking about all your heart. See, being from Andrew Womack Ministries, it's a teaching ministry, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for what I learned. But I'm not relying on my brain. Getting the Word, God drops down what I've got the Word in my heart, and then He helps me through Him living through my heart, distributed as needed. Yes. God was showing me one time in Genesis with Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were being presented Satan. He was saying, "Eat from this. You know, you know everything God knows." They already did, didn't they? Right? But it's eat from there. They were being tempted to. They were being tempted, just like you and are today, to trade revelation knowledge for relationship. Mm-hmm. See, if you trade revelation for relationship, you'll become self-righteous. This has to all be worked around relationship, everything we're talking about here that's happening. So lean not to your own understanding. We've got to lean to the Holy Ghost. "God, this is what worked last time, but what are you doing this time?" So I'm learning how to process and write on my heart. So if I, in the middle of a given day, a situation, fear comes up, okay, that area I need to deal with. How many are stuffers? We got any stuffers here that just would rather stuff it and not deal with anybody out there? Okay. But what God wants you to do is let that red light on the dash pop up. And then you take that red light and that fear and saying, "God, I'm ready to send that away," as it says according to Colossians. We can send that away, and then we can put on and rewrite on our heart what God says about that situation. Let me give you an example. I was walking my dog, Toby Mac. This was about 3 or 4 years ago, Yorkie. And as I'm walking him, I get a thought of an event we're going to in a couple weeks. And I had some anxiety about that event. And I thought, "Boy, that's not a big deal. What's that about, God?" And God, after all these years of me doing this certain thing, all of a sudden brings it up to me. So I don't know if it was I wasn't ready to deal with it, Anybody like that? You're not ready to deal with it? Or I wouldn't understand? But he showed me that all the way back to my childhood when I wrestled. We got any wrestlers in here? Okay. My childhood, I would start wrestling. I'd go to practice a couple times a week. And then at Saturday, we'd have a match. And I remember Saturdays were a little anxious and fearful, wondering what the outcome would be. And so always wanted to get Saturday over with, because so then I'd know what the outcome would be on whether I'd win or lose or how that would go. And I remember that he was showing me that developed a pattern in my life. And so I would hurry up and want to get things done. When I grew up, I got a job. I was a contractor, had my own business. And all I could remember doing was hurrying up, getting this job done, so I can start on the next one. So I can start on the next one. And this never-ending thing of just hurrying up and get things done. And then I got married. And then it was about hurrying up and get things done. We go on a vacation. Something in me was, let's hurry up and get this vacation over. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about here? You know what I'm saying? When I got in ministry, I can remember going and having church services and remembering, when this got over, whew, we made it through another one. Somebody, can you feel me? Now, what a lot of us do is we process that information in the natural. And it doesn't help us in the natural. Now, some of you are looking at me a little different than when I came in. Some of you are trying to figure out my background and that kind of stuff. And what you're doing is you're looking on the outside trying to determine the inside. And almost every time you're wrong, right? So. And what I'm trying to get you to do is look from your heart. Because once we start looking and judging, man, we write stuff on our heart that's going to be the wrong thing. So I'm going along. I'm trying to hurry up and get things done. I'm in church getting things done, and God spoke to me that day, and he says, you have a fear of the future. You have a fear of future events. So you're hurrying to get them over with so they'll be done. He said, if you can trust in me, I'm the God of the great outcome. And every outcome from this day forward can be the best outcome you've ever had. So when I get up every morning, I expect the best day I could ever have. I've slowly changed those thoughts and beliefs of fear of what might happen to, God, you have blessed me, and this is going to be the best outcome today. The best day I could ever have. And you start writing that on your heart, and it changes from the old thought and belief system. Then miracles start happening. Then the favor you were told you had there in Proverbs 3, you start experiencing it, and you start walking in it. See, nothing changes on the outside first. It always changes on the inside. And once it changes on the inside, the things you were believing for on the outside just change automatically. GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah? Come on. Now, I want you to get this, because this was something that took me a long time. I'm a slower learner, but once I get something, I get it. Are you with me? The fear of man is a snare. I want to get you to the place what we call holy plops, the holy plops of God, that you're in such a relationship with God, you've dealt with a lot of those limiting beliefs of your heart, that stuff just plops that you had nothing to do with. We had built a house. We had lived in it for 31 years. We thought we'd never move. We overlooked woods. Deer would come up and eat out of our yard, you know, turkeys, different stuff, never wanted to move. And we had a talk that, you know, we might move if God would do this and this. He's changing our ministry stuff now even. And so she said, you know, I would. 2 weeks, I'm driving my grandson's motorcycle just to kind of tune it up. And somebody pulled me over on the side of the road. And they said, hey, we're from California, just sold our house. We moved out here to go to this church up there. And we want to know if you know any houses for sale in this neighborhood. I said, I thought I saw one a couple blocks over. He said, would you sell your house? Then I said, I don't know. Let me talk to my wife. And we exchanged numbers, and she said, I have to have this price. I want a beach house. I want an apartment with fountains behind it for living up here until we go there. I'm thinking, how's this going to happen, man? You know, she's putting so many. The guy called us, told the price, talked for a little bit. He called us back and said, we'll take it. She got the apartment she wanted. She got the beach house. Somebody said, praise God, man. Now, the point I'm telling you is this is called the holy plops of God. God is wanting to bless you, and you can't even take credit for it. Who wants to walk in that? Amen. Who wants to walk in what God? And it's just two kids of his talking together saying, yeah, that would be nice. I'd like to have a beach house. God spoils my wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Are we ready to deal with those thoughts and intents in the heart that is keeping you from having what God's called you to do? Anybody out there? Come on. See, ministry is an outflow of an overflow of an inflow. Life is the training ground for ministry. Enjoy it while you can. Let's have fun while we're ministering to people, while we're growing, while we're through these growth stages of our ministries. It's ministry is a product of who you are, not what you do. How many believe that? We are proponents of Bible school right here. We had the first in-church Bible school years ago. When what you do is a product of who you are, it flows out of you effortlessly. Somebody say the word effortlessly. How many want that to happen? What is your lane? What is your calling? What are you anointed to do? Amen? We're to be ourselves, and we're to function with the body corporately. The gift you have, the gift that you've been anointed to do, is called to work with all the gifts here. Amen? Now, I want to do something. I want to help you to remove limiting beliefs and thoughts. We're going to do this process of writing on our heart for a few minutes. And then we're going to have some people that have needs we're going to pray for, and we're going to see God answer those things. So just for a minute, will you close your eyes? Now, everybody, because you're in this earthly body, have limiting beliefs. But when you think, and I want you to do this, think about the ministry you do. Just go through the process of you doing that. And then I want you to let me know. You have to let me know, but what comes up in your heart? Going to church, what am I thinking about?
Pressure.
Pressure, okay. What do you, when you're getting ready to minister, what's going on? Is there fear? Is it hurry up and get it over with? Are you excited? There's this one guy that just gives you a hard time all the time. Yeah, blockage. So what we're wanting to do now is we're wanting to put off that old belief system that's limited you from flowing, enjoying the ministry that God's giving you. How many want to do that? Okay. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you that all things are possible in you. You love me. You want the best for me. You want me to have holy plops. Come on. Now, we got to believe that here. Now, I put off my limiting beliefs. The pressures of ministry. The things that I can't quite see myself walking in yet. The fears of going further. I send you away in the name of Jesus. And I choose now to put on you, Jesus. It has no limits. That only has vision, God, for greater than I can do. Thank you for your peace and your rest, Lord Jesus, that reside in my heart. Thank you for your love for people, Jesus. Help me now, sing me, minister to people with your joy and with your peace. Now, just for a minute, I want you to think about ministering to people with joy and peace. And people are getting healed, delivered, saved. The anointing that's in you is starting to manifest, and you can't even take the credit for it. People are getting delivered, and you can't even say you laid hands on him because the anointing is working. Peace is coming. God's starting to give you bigger ideas, ideas that things that were blocking you, you're sending away, and he's bringing in the right way that you're to be going. There's some of you that are transitioning completely from the old type of ministry you used to do to a whole new variety of ministry that he's got. Hallelujah. God, right now, beliefs about finances, God. There's many people just got this thing, lack of finances to do what you've called to do. And God would say there is no lack. There's more than enough. Your job is to rejoice in me. The joy of you, the Lord, is my strength. And God, I choose to say all things are possible. I say you can do anything, God. You can provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. God, I have more than enough in you. My job is to continue to build this big vision you've given me. Come on, God's putting some big visions in people right now, bigger than you can do. And he's not asking you to figure out how to pay for it either. Thank you, Lord. Peace, God. There were some people here, and you had so much lack growing up that's kind of almost become a belief system. We curse lack to the name of Jesus. We curse it right now to the name of Jesus. And we call forth what you say, God, that we have more than enough to do what you called us to do, God. We lack no good thing, Lord Jesus. So we choose to see ourselves wealthy, healthy, Lord Jesus, with more than enough, God. I have so much, I got to give it away. I have so much, I got to give it away. I thank you for the people that are seeing themselves with giving accounts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, we're processing the beliefs of our hearts. We're kicking out the wrong beliefs. We're putting in the right beliefs, God's beliefs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So there's a couple people here. Somebody, because of the things that you did in your earlier days, the enemy keeps reminding you of those. And God says, that's not you anymore. I've made you clean, as white as snow. You are a brand new creation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, whoever here needs prayer for their physical body, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Hold it up just a minute. I want the people around them to pray for them. You're anointed. You're appointed. You're called. So I want you to find out what they got going. And you're not asking God to heal them. You are speaking to the problem. Amen? I want you to imagine them healed. I want you, the person that's had that thing, to see themselves healed this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, God. Ooh, thank you. You get somebody around you. You get, lay hands on. Let's see some miracles. If you're needing a financial miracle, kind of much in the way that we were right now, just raise your hands. You need a financial miracle? Okay, here. Anybody else? This row? I want some people to come up here. Terry and Dennis, since you're there. This whole row, they need some financial miracles. And it's going to come when you change the heart belief. God's going to allow you to change your heart belief, and the finances are just going to be there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Get him, Steve. Thank you, Lord. A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you for miracles coming out of this time together. I thank you for hearts being stretched, God, to what you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this conference. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.